I'm turning to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. And our subject today is God alone knows the heart. God alone knows our hearts. And he prepares the heart by grace. He exposes the heart's self-deception. And he weighs every spirit with perfect justice. That's what the Lord does. Let me read that verse again from a different translation. To man pertain the plans of his heart. To man pertain the plans of his heart. But from Jehovah comes the final decree. Thoughts of our hearts, they come and go. They seem to spring up in our hearts without effort. But it doesn't mean that our hearts are capable of great and mighty things. It doesn't mean that we don't need the Lord. We are reminded that in this verse, it reminds us so clearly that well-ordered speech is a gift that God gives. And anything good in our hearts is from the Lord. God gives the goodness in our hearts. It is, if it was not for the Lord alone, is it not the Lord alone who takes out our stony heart? We couldn't take out our stony heart. The Lord takes out our stony heart, the hard heart, the unfeeling heart. The Lord is the one who gives us a heart of flesh. It is grace that makes our hearts sensitive. It is grace that makes our hearts in tune with his heart, feeling. And he draws us that we may follow him. He quickens us that we may live. And he opens our hearts and he stamps his image upon our hearts. The image of God upon our hearts. When people look at us, they should see the Lord Jesus Christ. They should see that we belong to the Lord. It is God that breathes into our once lifeless heart. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart is lifeless. But those that know him, God breathed life into the hearts. He breathed a principle of life and energy into the heart. Now, we need to understand that God looks at the heart of every person. No one's exempt. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. And the thing with the Lord, he knows our deepest secrets. He knows nothing is hidden from him, nothing at all. His eyes see everything. Our sin, our secret sin, as a Bible verse says, our secret sin is in the light. He knows it even before others know it. He knows. Now, the heart of man, I'm not talking about the physical organ that pumps blood around the body. It's the heart of man is the true inner self of man, the seat of who we really are. God searches the heart and he tests the mind, giving each person according to his ways, according to the fruit of their deeds. So we will be rewarded on the condition of what we have allowed the Lord to do in our hearts. The Lord weighs the hearts. He places us upon the scales that he may see our true value and our weight. Well, really, so that we may see it. He knows it already. But when we are weighed, we realize that we are lacking. Now, we need to ask ourselves. Man needs to ask himself a question. How will we come out of this weighing? What will be revealed with this weighing? Would our heart be found weighty and true? And then the question must be asked, where is our heart's allegiance? This is what determines everything, actually. Where is your heart's allegiance? Or we could say it like this, where is your treasure? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. So, our hearts, what are the deepest loyalties of our heart? What do we possess as our deepest and most precious treasure in our heart? And the question is this, do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength? And we think of another verse in Proverbs 23:26. The Bible says, my son, give me your heart. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 16:2 goes on to say, all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. All the ways. We think we are pure. We don't see any wrong that we have done. But the Lord weighs the hearts, weighs the spirits. We are blinded when it comes to judging ourselves. We think our plans, our actions are blameless. And we're so proud and we are so confident. I've got a good plan. I expect success. But the truth is, our behavior is often wrong. Our behavior is our motives. Our motives are often wrong. And we can't even see it. We can't even know it. We either can't see or we refuse to see. We won't admit. But God sees and God weighs. And that's a very solemn thing. Nothing is hidden from God. We all know it's so easy to fool man. It's easy to look good in front of man. But the perfect one, who never makes an error, who is absolutely righteous and justice, that's who weighs us. Cannot fool him. His judgments are always true. His judgments are always accurate. He knows our every detail. He knows, as I mentioned, the secret sins. They are in the light. Nothing is hidden from him. His eyes see everything with perfect justice. And he condemns the things that we so proudly think are good. He weighs, and his verdict is final. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter if we think we are right. What matters is what is revealed by God's weighing. Now, I'm laying a foundation. There are many people who talk so proudly. They claim to be innocent. Oh, in their own eyes, they say, oh, I'm a good Christian. The Lord weighs the spirits. And the scripture, Bible verse I saw in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3, it says, "Talk no more so very proudly." Oh, we can talk so proudly, so arrogantly. "Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." By him actions are weighed. And this means all the thoughts of the heart, all the purposes, all the counsels of our will, all the things that our mind is set upon and focused upon. God knows, God sees, and God weighs in his infinite wisdom and unerring justice and truth. He weighs things that are temporal, and he weighs things that are spiritual. All things that relate to mankind are weighed. We are weighed. Men of low degree, they are weighed. Men of high degree, they are weighed. Psalm 62 and verse 9 tells us this. "Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. They are weighed on the scales. They are altogether lighter than vapor." So all men, all of us, are weighed by God. The Lord weighs our spirits. He sees our hearts. And we're going to look at 3 points. Point number one, who is it that weighs? The Lord. The Lord is the one who weighs. From our scripture, it's obvious. The Lord weighs the spirits. Point number two, what are the scales? The scales that the Lord uses to weigh the spirits. We will see some of these. And then number three, the judgment. What is he looking for? When he weighs us, what is he hoping to find? The Lord weighs the spirits. So let's begin with the first one, the Lord who weighs the spirits. We know we can read in many different portions of Scripture, the Scripture calls God the judge of all the earth. The judge of all the earth. And we often think that judgment is one day, far in the future, everything will be openly and revealed before Christ, and each one of us will be appear before the judgment seat, and we will be fully paid for our actions, what we have done in this life, whether good or whether worthless. And we read that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. But we should not forget, friends, that the Lord stands judge of his people. He stands present now. He is the judge. He's not going to stand. The meaning is that God observes us even now. Even now, our hearts and our spirits, every day, every hour, every step, he investigates, he examines us, he watches us, even what we think. He knows our thoughts, even our words that we speak. He knows our words. He knows exactly how it is with us. He knows the state of our spiritual life. He comes to a judgment about it. The Lord weighs our spirits now in the present. Our ways are not hidden from him. He sees them. Our iniquity is not hidden from his eyes. He sees it. He knows it. Jeremiah 16:16. We also know this verse. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on evil and on good. So the Lord sees when you do good. The Lord sees when you do evil. And we are accountable to the Lord, our Creator. Our Creator, He made us, and we will have to give an answer to Him. And I'm sure we know this Bible verse, all of us. I'm sure we know it very well. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. Each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Romans 14 and verse 11 to 12. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden that He doesn't know about. He knows all things. They are open and they are naked before Him to whom we must give account. To God, who is clothed in righteousness and truth. To Him who is only light and in whom there is no darkness at all. He sees and He knows. And this is very sobering. This is compelling. We must be honest. We must understand. Nothing's hidden from His gaze. He knows all things. Such a sobering thought that He sees my heart. He sees everything, everything. And it compels us to honest. It should compel us. God sees, therefore, I will do biblical self-examination. I will, we must say, as the psalmist said, I delight to do your will, O Lord, and your law is within my heart. I examine my heart, O Lord. I want to please you, Lord. I don't want my heart to be wicked and against you. And we are without excuse, for He has written His law upon our hearts. We have a conscience. We know what is right and wrong. Even children know what's right and wrong. Our conscience pricks us or warns us when we do something wrong. It's a gift from God. And how sad it is when our conscience is quietened down and told to be quiet and ignored and trampled upon underfoot. It's a sad thing to harden the conscience. A sad, sad thing. I want my conscience sensitive. I want my conscience sharp. I don't want a conscience that no longer works. I want a conscience that will convict me if I transgress the things of God, the law of God. Well, the law of God is so vast, but it can be summed up in the words of our Savior, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in Matthew's Gospel, there was a Pharisee, a lawyer, and he said, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22 and verse 36 and 37. So we love the Lord. That's what we must do. That's how we fulfill. If we love Him, we will obey Him. And His eternal word is in our hearts. That means our hearts include the faculties of the mind, the thoughts. The heart is the seat of all decision. He has given us memory. He's given us conscience. And the Puritans used to say that conscience is God's deputy in the soul of man, God's policeman in the soul of man. Conscience is either our greatest friend or our greatest enemy in the world. Richard Stibbs, the Puritan, said that. Conscience reminds us that we must answer to God, that one day we will give an account for all of our behavior. Conscience pricks us, and the wise man runs to God and asks for pardon. The wise man makes right with God and with man. I read a story of just how powerful conscience is and memory is. And it's a true story. It's a story of a 14-year-old boy by the name of Alonzo. Alonzo was an office boy in the National Pencil Company in Atlanta. Child labor in those days. He had to work at the age of 14. And he was working in the office. And his story is one of the most haunting and scary examples of how heavily conscience can weigh upon a person over an entire lifetime. And here is the secret that Alonzo carried for almost 70 years, actually 69 years. He carried the secret. Listen what happened. On the 26th of April, 1913, there was a 13-year-old girl by the name of Mary, and she was murdered at the pencil factory. And Alonzo saw one of the men carrying this girl down to the basement. Well, the superintendent of the factory was blamed for the murder, and he was arrested. He was a Jewish man, wrongfully convicted to death for this murder, but he was innocent. The death sentence was later reduced to life in prison, but the people were so furious of the town, they broke him out of the prison, and they took him, and they lynched him, and the man perished. Well, Alonzo saw this, and this 14-year-old boy, he'd seen this man taking the 13-year-old girl, carrying the dead body, and he was threatened by that man. And the man said, "If you talk, I'm warning you, I will kill you as well." And he was so frightened, he ran home and he told his mother. And his mother said, "We better be quiet, son. Don't say a word. Don't say a word." And for 69 years, he didn't say a word at all. Well, the truth troubled him. It haunted him. There were some nights that he couldn't sleep. An innocent man had been lynched, and the real killer had gone free. He explained that he didn't want money, he didn't want fame. He simply needed to ease the heavy burden that his conscience was carrying. And on his deathbed, he called the newspapers. He called the authorities. He took a lie detector test. He wrote a formal affidavit, and he said what really happened. And his deathbed confession became the catalyst that caused the state of Georgia to officially grant the superintendent of the factory, Leo Frank, a pardon. He was granted a pardon many years later in 1986. Well, the point of the story is this, is that memory and conscience would not let him forget. He could not forget. Neither will they let you forget. We are sinners in need of salvation. Don't wait until the last hour on your deathbed to confess your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess now. Ask for forgiveness today. Memory and conscience remind us that we will answer to the Lord. The Lord weighs. We've seen this. He is the one who weighs. But what are the scales? What are the scales that He weighs us with? If a person is calculating the worth of metal, they use a balance to weigh the metal and see if it's pure and to see if it's not fake. Well, God has his scales. And first of all, God's scales, the first what we can say is strict justice and faithfulness, which are in him. His weighing is always right, always true. Isaiah 26 and verse 20 and verse 7. Isaiah 26, verse 7. The way of the just, uprightness. O most upright, you weigh the path of the just. God is most upright. He will not make a mistake. So what are some of the scales? He has the scale of infinite knowledge. As we mentioned, nothing's hidden. He knows all the ways of the sons of men. Jeremiah 32 and verse 19. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his works and according to the fruit of his doings. He knows our deepest motive. He sees all the ways of men, and his scales take into account even motive. Even motive his scales can weigh. Let me give you a biblical example of wrong motive. Do you remember King Saul? He offered his daughter, Merab, to David. Well, it seemed to be a gracious offer. It seemed to be a good offer. But it was a deadly trap. Saul secretly hoped that the Philistines would kill David. The king's so-called generosity was a mask for his murderous intent. David was fooled, but we, you and I, we cannot hide the intentions of our heart from the Lord. We will never fool the Lord. God sees right through our outward veneer. He sees through everything. As we read in Hebrews 4 and verse 13, we are reminded all things are naked and open before his eyes, to whom we have to do nothing. Nothing in our inner life escapes his gaze, including our thoughts, including our intents of our heart. And that word, intents, it means our goals. What are we aiming at in life? And this is very convicting. We can see some people, they appear to have good aims in life. Let me give you an example. Maybe a person in a church is always appearing to be so willing to help. But why are they willing to help? Is it because they want to be seen? Is it because they want to gain a reputation? Is it because they want the applause of man? Man looks and sees the outward appearance and says, oh, they are really committed. But the Lord looks at the heart. He sees the motive. He sees the reason. He sees the subtle desire for human applause. The Lord weighs the spirits. Man would love to be his own judge. And Paul makes it very clear to us. He says, my judge is the Lord. Does our conscience not tell us this? We know the Lord is the judge. Again, conscience is one of his balances. Conscience is one of the scales that he uses to weigh us. Let me explain. God has full access to our conscience. He knows when our conscience pricks us. He knows when it warns us. He knows when it tells us, don't do that. And we silence the voice of conscience. He knows when we are convicted and trample conscience underfoot. It weighs us. Another one of God's balances is providence. Let me explain this. Providence, like a mirror, it uses trials to expose what truly is inside a person. When pressure comes, the real desires of our hidden motives rise to the surface. The pressure reveals what's in the heart. When bad things happen, it reveals what is truly in our heart. And we see this in the Bible story of Peter. Peter's denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, it gives us a Bible example of how trials strip away self-deception and expose what's really in the heart. Remember how sure he was. The Lord had said to him, the Lord had warned him and said, Satan desires to sift you. And Peter said, no, all others may leave you, Lord, but I shall never leave you. And even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Remember, he said that. He was so sure. He seemed so strong. But providence at the fire, in the courtyard, it exposed a different reality. This little slave girl said to him, are you not one of them that was with Jesus Christ? The servant girl identified him as one of Jesus' followers, and Peter denied it, saying, I do not know the man. The trial didn't create cowardice in Peter. It just revealed what already existed in his heart. And many times, providence reveals what's already in our hearts. God weighs our hearts. Oh, but the wonderful thing is that Peter was restored. The Lord said to Peter 3 times, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. And things were made right. And Peter went out and he wept and he was restored. And later he preached to 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. You see, God exposes what's in our heart to make us instruments that can be used in his hands. Len, we mustn't forget to mention the most obvious one. God uses the weight or the scale that God uses is Scripture. He uses Scripture to weigh us. He uses the living Word. It's his plumb line. He measures everything by the plumb line of his word. What is the judgment that he makes? He declares the true state of our heart. He shows whether our heart is upright before him when we are weighed in the balance, are we found wanting? So we will be found upright or we will be found wanting. And he knows if we are being honest before him. He knows if we are only acting, being hypocritical. He knows if we are humble. Pride can hide under the guise of being a Christian. Do you know you can claim to be such a good Christian, but you can hide under that guise? You can still be proud. Remember the publican praying in the temple. We read that verse earlier. Well, it wasn't really prayer. He was just telling God how good he was. He was so full of arrogance. He was so full of pride. He was saying, I'm not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes. He was weighed in the balance. and he did not go home justified. And the question is, am I like that Pharisee, that lawyer, or am I like the humble publican who would not even look up to heaven and beat his breast and said, "Forgive me, a sinner. Lord, I know I fall short of your holy standard. I know that if I was to be weighed, I would be lighter than vapor." Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And they have all turned aside. They've altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. As I begin to draw to a close, God's going to weigh each of us, and someone might think, they may not say it, but they might think, well, what about the preacher? How would he weigh if there's none righteous? No, not one. Oh, I admit I am guilty, but I'm not afraid to be weighed. And why is this? It is only because of the grace of salvation. And when I stand on the scales, I'm not as light as vapor, because I have Jesus Christ who stands with me. I will be found not guilty because I am in him, because he is my Lord and my Savior. It is Jesus Christ that makes a difference. His grace appeared, bringing salvation, bringing redemption. Have you received this gift of eternal life? Has your sins been washed away? Are you one who has a new heart, a heart of flesh? Or do you still have a heart of stone? Remember, a stone is heavy and it will sink to the very bottom. How can we afford, friends? How can we afford to neglect this grace that is offered? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was spoken by our Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard it? One day, friends, the books will be opened, and it shall be made known what we are really like. The way we live in private will be made public. Secrets will be made known. Oh, let us live in the light. Let us live with a royal pardon. If your sins have not yet been forgiven, if your heart is not yet right and washed and made new, oh, call on the name of Jesus Christ now. Call upon the name, and you shall leave today a child of God. Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins, and you shall be saved. You shall receive this vast treasure of grace. And as we now close our time of worship together by singing together that hymn number 440, these very words, "How vast the treasure we possess." Ask yourself, do I possess that treasure of a new heart? Amen and amen.